Hebrews 4, verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Speaking of the priests who have served in the temple for many centuries, the writer to the Hebrews then says, in chapter 7, verse 23, Now there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest truly meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day by day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests men in all their weakness, but the oath, which came after the law, appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much for reading for us, Andrew. Please do keep that reading from chapter 7 open in front of you. The Apostle Paul writes to his friend Timothy, there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus. As we watch the adverts on TV and listen to the actress Ashley Jensen telling us all that she's going to eat this Christmas, and perhaps as we look forward to our own Christmas dinners with family and friends, exchanging presents and possibly playing some party games, this is what we're celebrating: the coming into the world of the one mediator between God and mankind as a little baby on that first Christmas day. A mediator is a kind of go-between who represents two parties to each other. And in the case of a mediator between God and mankind, Jesus is uniquely qualified for the role. He is fully God from eternity. And when he was born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, he became fully man. Being both fully God and fully man, he is uniquely qualified to be the one mediator between the two. And that's what we're thinking about in the run-up to Christmas. Last week we thought about how Jesus accomplished his mediatory work as prophet. Now, the role of the prophets was to represent God to the people, a role which Jesus fulfilled perfectly. The role of the priest, on the other hand, was to represent the people before God. And that's what we're thinking about this morning. As we spend a bit of time in the letter to the Hebrews, we see that Jesus is our perfect high priest. And that's because, firstly, his is a permanent priesthood. That's our first heading, a permanent priesthood. Please look down with me again at Hebrews chapter 7, verses 23 to 25. That first paragraph on the page. The writer is speaking about the Old Testament priests. He says this: "Now there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them." When we think of priests in the Bible, we tend to think of the Old Testament priesthood. These were the descendants of Levi, one of Jacob's 12 sons. When the Israelites settled in the promised land, the Levites weren't given land of their own to work, because their job was to work in the temple, overseeing all the details and the organization of temple life. And one particular strand of the tribe of Levi were to serve as priests in the temple. These were the descendants of Aaron, the brother of Moses. The job of Aaron and his descendants was to offer sacrifices for the sins of the people and to make intercessions to God for the people. And by doing so, they made the people acceptable to God and able to come into his presence at the temple, albeit in a very limited way. But the writer to the Hebrews says here that these priests from the tribe of Levi were only ever a shadow of the real priest who was coming into the world. This Levitical priesthood was only ever temporary. It was provisional. And the provisional nature of this priesthood was evident in some of its deficiencies. And one of those deficiencies was that the priests died. Every priest was temporary. He would serve for a little while, and then he would die. As it says in verse 23, death prevented them from continuing in office. Well, that raises a question. How can God's people have real, lasting, eternal security if the priests who represent them before God keep dying? To have eternal security with God, you need an eternal representative. That was one way in which the Old Testament priesthood pointed forward to Jesus. His priesthood wasn't based on human descent. Jesus wasn't a descendant of Levi. So he wasn't qualified to serve in the Levitical priesthood because he was born into a different tribe. Rather, he belonged to a better priesthood. His priesthood was not based on descent, but on an indestructible life. So we don't need to worry about Jesus dying, because his life is indestructible. He lives forever. His is a better priesthood because it is permanent. Verse 24, "But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood." Well, sometimes we come across things that claim to be indestructible, but inevitably we soon discover that they aren't. We've found that with toys that are made for dogs, for example. They might claim to be indestructible. They might come with a label stating that they've been tried and tested and cannot be destroyed. But they clearly haven't met our dog. Once she gets her teeth into a toy, it doesn't matter what it's made of. It can be made of plastic, rubber, rope, even wood. Well, within 20 minutes, it'll be torn into pieces and scattered across the floor. There's no such thing as an indestructible dog toy. And the same is true of everything we buy. That's why products come with warranties, because they break. Nothing lasts forever. Friends that we talk to and confide in come and go. Loved ones who stand by us through thick and thin are taken from us by death. What great comfort then to know that there is one place where we can find permanency. And that's Jesus. He has always existed. He always will exist. He will always be there for us to represent us before God. His life alone is indestructible. And the proof of that is his resurrection from the grave. The empty tomb testifies that Jesus lives forever. He holds his priesthood permanently. And if we need further assurance of that fact, we have it in verse 28. It says there that God has confirmed the appointment of his Son as our high priest with an oath. Well, that's a reference to Psalm 110, verse 4, which says that the Lord has made his Son a priest forever and that he will never change his mind. In other words, God swears that we will never need anyone else to represent us before him but Jesus. You and I have total security and complete peace of mind when we entrust our lives to Jesus. So if you're trusting in anything or anyone else to make you acceptable to God and to get you into heaven, then let it go. All you need is Jesus. There is no one else who can represent you before God as he does. Trust him. But of course, the question that leaves us with is to ask how Jesus acts as our high priest. And the answer to that is that he has acted as our high priest in the past through his completed once for all time work at the cross. And that he continues to act as our high priest today through his ongoing work in heaven. So firstly then, he has acted as our high priest in the past by offering a perfect sacrifice for the sins of his people, which is our next heading, a perfect sacrifice. Please look down with me at verses 26 to 28 of our passage. Speaking of Jesus as our permanent high priest, it says this: such a high priest truly meets our need. One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests men in all their weakness, but the oath which came after the law appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever. Well, we've seen that one deficiency of the Old Testament priesthood was that the priests died. Death prevented them from continuing in office. Another deficiency of the Old Testament priesthood is that the sacrifices the priests offered couldn't make the people perfect. That was evidenced by the fact that they had to keep offering the same sacrifices day after day. First, the priests offered sacrifices for their own sins. Then they offered sacrifices for the sins of the people. And then they repeated the same sacrifices day after day, over and over again. Well, one of the jobs I have to keep doing over and over again is to unblock the drains of our house. These drains get blocked up on a regular basis with moss that gets washed down from the roof. So every few weeks I have to go out and get a stick and unblock the drain with a stick. And then gradually the inevitable happens, they get blocked up again and I have to go out and do the same thing. And my attempts at unblocking the drains are clearly neither perfect nor final. It makes me wonder whether there might be a better solution. And something similar was the case with the Old Testament sacrifices. The fact that they had to be repeated over and over again pointed to the fact that they were neither perfect nor final. There needed to be a better solution. And that was the sacrifice offered by Jesus. Unlike any other priest in history, Jesus is sinless. Well, that meant that he didn't need to offer sacrifices for his own sins as the Levitical priests needed to do. But more than that, it enabled him to do something that would have been wholly unthinkable to the Levitical priests. He willingly offered up his own life as a perfect sacrifice for the sins of his people through his death on a cross. It was unthinkable that a priest should do this. But in doing so, Jesus fulfilled all that the Old Testament sacrifices pointed to. When a priest chose a bull or goat as a sacrifice, it had to be perfect. There couldn't be a blemish or a defect anywhere in sight. Well, that was symbolic. It symbolized the fact that a true sacrifice needed to be without fault in any way. It needed to be perfect or innocent. And that's crucial because only the innocent can die in the place of the guilty to make atonement for their sin. But these sacrifices, the bulls and goats, were only ever symbolic. They were only ever pointing forward to the once-for-all sacrifice of Jesus. A little bit further on in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4, it says, "It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." The sacrifices of the Old Testament were a temporary means of grace, which God provided to deal with the problem of sin for a while. But it was impossible for these sacrifices to make a person perfect. Only Jesus can do that. He is the only real sacrifice for sin. And we get a very powerful picture of that when we consider the curtain in the temple. Now, the curtain stood across the entrance to the Holy of Holies, the most holy place in the inner part of the temple, where God himself made himself specially present. The curtain was like a big no entry sign, stopping anyone from entering into the presence of God. It said that the way into God's presence was closed. And that was despite the many, many animals that were being sacrificed in the temple every single day. It was a powerful reminder that it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. But when Jesus did the unthinkable and offered up himself on the cross, we're told that the curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The way into God's presence is now open. Christ's death has done for us what the blood of bulls and goats was unable to do. His death alone is able to pay the penalty for our sin in our place and make us perfect before God. Therefore, brothers and sisters, says the writer to the Hebrews in chapter 10, verses 19 to 22, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. What a wonderfully privileged position we are in. Because of Jesus, we can confidently draw near to God without fear, but with the full assurance of faith. Through faith in Jesus, you and I can live each moment of each day in loving relationship with God in heaven. If you wouldn't yet call yourself a Christian, this is what God offers you through faith in his Son. He holds out to you the invitation to live each day in loving relationship with him. It's a relationship that starts now and will continue for all eternity. And it's a relationship that's marked by love and intimacy as we draw near to him. We do that as we put our trust in the death of Jesus as the one perfect, all-sufficient sacrifice for sin. We draw near to him as we read the Bible each day and seek to live in the light of what he says to us in it. We draw near to him as we pray to him and bring our struggles and needs before him. And we draw near to him corporately as we gather around his word together, sing and pray together, share the Lord's Supper together, and serve him together. This is the great privilege we have as Christians, which Jesus has made possible for us through his perfect, once for all time sacrifice of himself upon a cross. And this is a completed work which will never need to be repeated. What a privilege. But although this work is completed, the high priestly work of Jesus didn't finish when he offered himself as a sacrifice for sin. He began his priestly ministry on earth, and he is continuing it today in heaven, where he offers prayers unendingly for his people. So I've put as our final heading, unceasing prayers. Please look again at chapter 7. And verse 25, we've already read it, but look again and see what it says there. Speaking of the permanent priesthood of Jesus, it says, therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Jesus died on a cross, rose from the grave and ascended into heaven, where he lives forever to intercede or pray for his people. And his work of intercession is closely tied to the sacrifice he offered. It arises from it. There was a lovely picture of that in the temple. Two connected things happened in the temple. Sacrifices were offered for the sins of the people, and incense was burned, which symbolized prayers rising to God. Well, burning coals were needed for both of those things to happen. But not any old coals would do. The incense could only be burned on the golden altar using hot coals which were taken from the altar on which the burnt offerings were being made. It was a clear sign that the prayers were only acceptable to God on the basis of the sacrifice. And it's on the basis of his sacrifice on the cross that the risen and ascended Jesus now prays for us in heaven. He prays for the elect who haven't yet come to him in faith to do so. And if you wouldn't yet call yourself a Christian, perhaps God's answering that prayer for you right now. He prays for those who have come to him in faith to receive pardon for their daily sins. He answers all charges against us by pointing to his death on the cross as the penalty for sin. Whatever charge is found against us and whatever penalty our sin deserves, Jesus says, I've paid for it in full. He prays for our daily protection from the schemes of Satan. He prays that we would grow in godliness and increasingly bear the family likeness of his Father day by day. He prays that the things we do in his name might be pleasing to the Father. He prays for our safe arrival in heaven, where we will be with him forever. And as if all of that wasn't wonderful enough, he also brings specific requests to God on our behalf. As we pray to God, Jesus sanctifies our prayers by his blood shed on the cross and echoes them in his Father's presence. And he does that with sympathy and understanding. At the end of chapter 4 that Andrew read for us, it says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to feel sympathy or empathize for our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. When Rachel and I were trying for a second child, we went through the pain of an ectopic pregnancy. We told the church what had happened so that they would be aware of it, and we were so grateful to another couple in the church who came to speak with us and told us that they'd been through the same thing themselves. They understood what we were going through because they had gone through it too, and that meant a lot to us. And it's the same with Jesus. He knows the trials and the sufferings we go through and how we're tempted in them, because he has been through human trials and sufferings himself. He knows about human frailty and weakness firsthand. He's able to bring to God the prayers we make through him, and to do so with sympathy and understanding, because as a man, he has gone through the same things that we go through. Jesus is the only person who has ever existed and who ever will exist who can be such a heavenly high priest. The thought that he is in heaven at this very moment, seated at his Father's side, continually praying for us in all these ways, should give us great encouragement. What a wonderful assurance to know that Jesus is in heaven praying for us right now. Not as we pray, not as creatures petitioning their Creator, but as the one and only Son making requests of the Father on equal terms. This is how one theologian has expressed that encouragement, particularly in terms of our own weaknesses in prayer. He writes this: "It is a consoling thought that Christ is praying for us, even when we are negligent in our prayer life, that he is presenting to the Father those spiritual needs which were not present to our minds and which we often neglect to include in our prayers, and that he prays for our protection against dangers of which we're not even conscious, and against the enemies which threaten us, though we do not notice it. He is praying that our faith may not cease, and that we may come out victoriously in the end." What a great encouragement it is to know that Jesus is at his Father's side, continually praying for us, his people, in this way. Only Jesus has made the perfect sacrifice for the sins of his people. And only Jesus lives forever to intercede for his people. He alone is qualified to do that work as our perfect high priest. So when we entrust ourselves to him as our representative before God, we have complete security. Our lives couldn't be in better hands. And that's what we're celebrating this Christmas as we celebrate his birth as a baby boy. Let's pray. Loving Father, thank you for Jesus, our perfect high priest. Thank you for his death on a cross as the perfect sacrifice for sin. Thank you that he lives forever to intercede at your side for us, his people. Thank you that we have complete security in his hands, both now and forever. Please deepen our delight and faith in him as we celebrate his coming this Christmas time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.